What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. And today we have the Grand Commander himself. He is an incredible comedian based in Canada, all the way from Nigeria. Mr. Grand Commander, we hail you today. How are you
doing? Thank you for that wonderful introduction. Thank you so much.
Of course, yeah. How are you? Are you ready to dive into our episode for today?
Let's do it.
Okay, absolutely. So you are from Nigeria, so I'm going to ask you some trivia about Nigeria. Are you ready?
Okay.
What is the full name of the current president of Nigeria? Emiloko.
I didn't want to go by his royal Bala Blueness, His Excellency Chief Bola Ahmed Tinubu.
Okay, nice one.
I use chief because some people call him chief, some people call him senator, you know.
Yeah, I mean, some people also call him Jagaban, so you know.
Yeah, he's got so many names.
He's got Jagaban, a lot of titles. Yeah.
A whole lot of them.
Okay, that was good. All right. Whose face is on the 200 Naira note?
On the 200 Naira note?
Yes, whose face is there?
Hold on, the 100 Naira note is the one that I think has Nnamdi Azikiwe or so?
No.
I don't know, but it has some Igbo guy on it.
No.
I think. The 200 Naira note, is that the Ahmadu Bello?
That is Ahmadu Bello. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well done. It took you, you went on a journey, but you arrived.
I mean, I had to start from the bottom.
Yeah.
And then also so that you don't get to ask me the other notes.
Yeah, that was... Okay, you know what? For that, who is on the 1,000 Naira notes?
On the 1,000 Naira notes?
Eh.
Oh, my God. Oh, shoot.
There are two people on the 1,000 Naira notes. Do you want to guess at least one of them?
Aliu something.
Mm-hmm. Aliu Mai Bornu.
And, I don't know. Aliu something.
And Clement Isong. Both of them were the governors of Central Bank. Who was the first and only prime minister of Nigeria? Easy.
First and only prime minister.
Yes. Of your motherland.
Hold on.
Come on. Let's have it.
Obafemi Awolowo.
No.
Tafawa Balewa.
Tafawa Balewa. Abubakar Tafawa Balewa.
Tafawa Balewa.
All of you people are knowing Buko. Okay. I have another one for you. Who amalgamated the northern and southern protectorates of Nigeria?
Lord Lugard.
That guy. That very guy.
His wife coined the name
Nigeria. Yeah.
Some people say it's not his wife. Some people say it was his side chick and stuff.
That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. But imagine giving your side chick the power to name an entire country.
I mean, it just shows you the guys of old. They were ballers, you know.
That level of effrontery, something else.
They were ballers, man. They were ballers.
They were on another level. Okay.
The guy was like, babe, you know what? I'll give you some. She's like, I know you give me money and stuff. You know? He's like, come on, man.
I want my name to be in history.
I'm going to give you something different.
Yeah.
I'm going to etch your name into the times of history. And she's like, what's that? It's like, I'll blow your mind, babe. You know what? That new country, you name it. And she's like, what?
See, I have a different imagination of how it went down because it would have been something like, am I just a side chick to you? Is that all I am? Do I not have any value? Yeah. Okay, no vex. See, I'm about to name this country. Yeah, what name will you like? Yeah, something like that.
You know?
Okay. Emotional blackmail. Okay.
Emotional blackmail, you know.
Yeah.
I left you and came all the way from England with you.
Yeah.
Now you want to send me back like some old hag?
And you wouldn't even tell your wife about us?
He's like, no, I'm going to make you what you're wild, you know. So,
yeah.
See that new country I just got? You name it.
He's like, we're in this together. You know all those bobo that married men used to tell small girls?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Where is the name Nigeria derived from?
Nigeria.
Yeah. So, I have some options. Niger Republic, Niger States, River Niger.
Is it going to be the River Niger?
It's, you got it the first time, actually. River Niger is what inspired the name.
It's the River Niger.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying.
Yes, well done. Well done. Well done. Come on, Dick Flower. Good job. Okay, so we're going to move over to some riddles. So don't think too hard. The most silly answer may just be the answer. So
please, disclaimer, guys, if I don't get it, please don't judge me, please.
Please judge him. Look at me that I'm talking.
Please don't judge me. If I don't get it,
please don't judge him. But this is a no.
It can happen to anybody.
Yes, it's a no-judgment zone. This is a no-judgment zone, please. Nobody should judge him.
Absolutely.
But the first riddle, there are 12 fish and half of them drown. How many are left? Sorry.
Fishes live inside water. They don't drown.
Hey, look at you. You said you're bad at riddles. That was a trick question and you got it.
Come on, man. How would you say fish drown?
I would probably have said half of them drown, obviously six.
Nah.
Fish don't drown.
Live inside water. They don't drown.
Yeah. Okay. How many bricks does it take to complete a building made of brick?
Lots of bricks.
How many does it take to complete a building made of bricks? It takes one.
A building made of bricks.
Yeah. The last one is the one that completes it.
So there's several bricks used in building that. I don't know how many in particular.
Yeah, but how many does it take to complete? To finish work, you need the last one.
The last one, just need one more piece of brick and that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
There are two docks in front of a dock, two docks behind a dock, and one dock in the middle. How many docks are there?
Take it again.
So there are two docks in front of one dock, and then two docks are behind one as well, and then there's one dock in the middle. How many docks are there?
Two docks in front of the dock,
and then two behind.
That's three, and then two behind. Mm-hmm. That's five. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then one in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Are they in front of a mirror? Is the dock in front of a mirror?
No, they're not in front of a mirror. No. Going.
I'll say five.
There are three ducks. There are three. So like two in front of one, two behind, and one in the middle.
No, that's how.
It's three. Like three ducks. So like they just like two at the back, two in front, and one in the middle. If there's one in the middle of two things, that means it's three. It's very silly, I know.
But then you said there was two in front of it.
Yeah.
And then there's two behind it.
Yeah, two ducks in front of one duck. And then two ducks behind one duck. And then one duck in the middle.
That's five.
No, it's three. Think about it.
Nah, it's five.
No.
Don't tell me that it's five. I don't want to take that. No, it's five.
It's three.
Okay, let's do it this way. In your riddle, it's three, but in mine, it's five.
No, that's not how this works.
In your riddle, it's three. In mine, it's five.
That's how it works. Okay, fine. Voila. Let's do one last one.
Okay.
All right. So an electric train is moving north at 100 miles per hour. Which way does the smoke blow?
Moving
at 100 miles per hour. Final riddle. This is the last one, and then we'll get into our chat for today.
Which way does the smoke blow?
Yeah.
Whichever way the wind directs it.
Okay. Final answer.
Yeah.
It's an electric train. They don't blow smoke.
Oh, shoot. I was thinking, oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
I literally had the Canadian, what's their name? Canadian.
The train?
Pacific train on my mind. I totally blanked out the electric part. Oh shoot. Because I got stopped at the train tracks couple of days ago because the train was.
It takes so long, yeah.
And I'm like, oh shoot! So immediately you said it's an electric train. That's just what came back to my head, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what? You got me. I got you. Yeah, I got you good on that one. But you did so well. You did so well on the trivia. You know your fatherland. I hope you know your new anthem as well. Don't worry. I'll make you sing it.
Nah, I'm not going to go there. I don't have anything to say about that.
Amazing. Well, thank you for breaking this ice with me. Let's get into our chat for today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Mr. Grand Commander. You are from Nigeria, as has been established. Can you tell us about your immigration journey of how you moved here? Just quickly summarize it for us of how you moved here to Canada, what made you move, and how life has been like since you moved here.
Okay, so I am originally from Delta State in Nigeria. I'm from the capital, Asaba. Mm-hmm. I am the fifth child of six kids from my mom and my dad who have been married for, I think, about 47 years right now. They're old like that in marriage, you know. So I got married in 2017, and it was my wife who brought me to Canada. My wife and I decided we just wanted to leave Nigeria. We were not comfortable with, you know, how life was, you know, and so many things that were happening back there. And so we decided to move. I wanted to go to the US, and then she said, no, let's do Canada. And I was like, Canada? Nah, because I wanted to pursue my comedy career and stuff. And she said, no, let's do, you know, Canada. And I'm like, Canada? I really don't really know that much about it. I only knew that I had an uncle and an aunt here in Canada. Then she insisted, let's do Canada. And I remember one of the things that my dad told me when I was getting married. He said, happy wife, happy life. You know, so sometimes you need to listen to your wife. You guys need to discuss and agree on certain things together. And so I said, okay, let's do Canada, but we're in Canada. Because I just figured like Canada and the US are like, you know, brother and sister. So I can always cross over to the other side to do anything if I wanted to do it. And then the next question was, where in Canada should we do? And she said, let's do Calgary. And I'm like, where is that? Because the only place I knew existed in Canada was Toronto and Montreal. Mm-hmm. And she said, let's do Calgary. And I'm like, where is Calgary? And she said, oh, let's look it up. So we started to look it up and all of that. And then I saw very good, you know, reviews, small city, nice, you know, family oriented, because we were just married and we're going to start a family and stuff. So with that, and then I said, okay, yeah, it looks like a cool, chill place and all of that. And then we did a little more research, and then we found out that it was the, you know, the oil city. Alberta was the province that had oil and all of that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I like the sound of oil. That means there's money here, you know, and stuff. But I haven't seen the money since I moved here. Just kidding, though. you know, and so we eventually settled on doing Calgary. We got here in June of 2019. And ever since Calgary has been our home, has been our city. It's been amazing living here. Mm-hmm. Nice people, nice community, fantastic place, very relaxed. I would even say way better than the Toronto that I had in mind back then. Because Toronto, I visited Toronto a few times and I'm like, woo, what's going on here, man? It's crazy out here. But Calgary is pretty relaxed, calm, you know, and nice place. Yeah, so that's my little immigration journey.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. So you're a comedian, as you've stated, and you wanted to pursue your comedy career. Can you talk about how that has been? Because you're an immigrant and you're still absolutely doing comedy. So what was your journey with like finding your people, getting started, like, or continuing your career here in Canada? And like, what was that like?
Okay, so when I got here in 2019, I didn't really see that much going on in the comedy scene from, you know, an immigrant perspective, you know, being a Nigerian and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I saw that the indigenous comedy scene, the local comedy scene here, you know, had like, you know, the Canadian guys, you know, and some other immigrants from other, you know, countries were doing their own stuff, you know. There was the Yuk Yuks, there was what's the name of that comedy club that was taking place on Mondays downtown? I think it was on 12th Avenue. I can't remember the name, but I think it was like a Monday night thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some other one that was going on somewhere on 1st Street and I think 13th Avenue downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So those were like the, and then there was the Comedy Cave, I think, yeah. So those were like the local comedy clubs where things were going on, you know, and that was kind of like the very first place where I got to meet a few people, you know, back then. But when I came in, I wanted to, you know, integrate and see how I can do stuff. And back then, there was literally nothing happening, nothing going on in terms of, you know, the Black community, the Nigerian community, my community directly. Nobody was doing anything. It was just maybe once in a while you have Nigerian comedians from Nigeria come in and do a show and they have maybe 30 or 40 people and that's it, you know. And there wasn't that much of social media in existence back then. So nobody really knew. When I did my research, I found out that I think the only two comedians that had been to Calgary in the past were Okeh Bakassi and I think I Could Die were the only two comics I think that had visited back then. I'm talking about maybe 2005 or 6, you know, and then 2010 and 2012, and that was it. So I went to the drawing board and I said, okay, yeah, I need to create something. I need to see how we can do this and make it work. I worked with a guy, or before I was introduced to a guy. So I met, when I moved in June, I met a guy by the name Kola K. And then we got talking because he had seen me perform at a show and he was like, oh man, guy, this is good, man. But we need to create, let's create something. Let's get you to meet a couple of other folks and let's see what we can do. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm down for it. Let's see what we can do. I mean, let's grow it, you know, because I got in, there was literally nobody doing anything. And I'm like, okay, how can we build this? And so he introduced me to a friend of his who had a promotion company, Femi BG of Ikaru Sounds.
Hey, shout out.
Yeah, and so I met Femi BG in 2019. We met somewhere downtown. I think it was Fire and Ice or so. We sat in there that day, and then we just had a quick chat. And I told him, I said, yo, dude, I just moved from Nigeria. I've been doing stand-up comedy, and I'm here now. I want us to create something we can do on Sunday evenings and see how, you know, we can, you know, get it to grow and stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, he's down. Let's do it. But he said to me, he said, I've not done anything that has to do with comedy. I'm only into, you know, promoting shows, music shows, and, you know, day parties and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, we can definitely collaborate. And he said, well, comedy is something new and he'd like to see what he can do with it. And so we created the very first Nigerian and African comedy club in Calgary, in Alberta, and by extension in Canada, because I literally didn't even hear of anyone happening anywhere. And it was called Sunday Night Comedy Club with Grand Commander. And we had the first edition in October. So I moved in June. We had the first one in October. And it was amazing. It was at some very small cafe downtown. Koi Cafe. Cafe Koi.
Okay.
It was on First Street. They're no longer in existence though. I mean, lovely, very lovely, cozy place. And we had the very first edition, it was sold out. Like, people were literally standing. Nobody knew me before, but, you know, Femi was the one who helped, you know, drum up the awareness and, you know, did all the publicity and stuff. And people came out, you know, and it was amazing. People enjoyed themselves that evening, you know. Because I was fresh from Nigeria. I had a lot of stories about Nigerian stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and people were really vibing to it and all of that. And it was great. So we did that in 2019. 2020, COVID hit, so we literally couldn't do anything. But I think we had another edition in February of 2020, just before the COVID
pandemic.
And then we had, I think, two or three other editions later that year. And that was how I was able to start growing my followership, you know, and show attendance here in Calgary. So that was how I started.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of other stories, but that was how it started.
That's the main... But that's so cool. Like, even just coming and just being innovative enough to be like, you know what? I see this gap let me fill it in, you know, like that's absolutely like round of applause for you. That's incredible. Not everyone can do that. So I applaud you. Like, I know it's not easy to start something. So like, yeah, mm-hmm. shout out to you for, you know, yeah. being able to do that and, you know, taking the bold step, you know, to, as a new immigrant, Johnny just come, you know, trying to start something.
I was going to say I was fresh off the boat, but I was fresh off the plane.
Fresh off the plane. You are still smelling of Ewedu and stew. Like, you are still smelling of, mm-hmm. you know, exhaust smoke.
Small chops.
Small chops. So well done. Like, that's absolutely incredible. Are you still doing that right now? Like, does the comedy club still, you know?
I moved past that phase because when I came, I had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan was introduce myself to the community, start small, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. grow.
Yeah, of course.
And so when we started out with the Sunday Night Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. And then we used to do it, I think it was once a quarter. So we used to have it every 3 months.
Yeah.
And it was Sunday evenings. Just come in, have, you know, hang out with your friends, have a good mm-hmm. laugh, and then go to work the following day. And it was properly scripted. Mm-hmm. And when we started, then other folks in the city who were trying their hands out with stand-up comedy were also coming out to say, oh yeah, I would like to feature. We had an open mic. We had some mm-hmm. other guys who reached out. I think some other African guys who reached out from Edmonton, Ronnie and Tesh, and then we featured them on the show. We had Malika LaSalle. Mm-hmm. We had Marito Lopez. We had Adora 14, you know, and a couple of other people who came around. But the plan was start small, introduce myself to the community and grow. So yeah. we had, I think, about 5 editions of the Sunday Night Comedy Club, either 5 or 6, I can't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved on to phase 2 of my plan. And the phase 2 right. of my plan was to now host my own full-blown show.
Mm.
And that was what we had in 2021, October 2021. It was Just Joking with Grand Commander.
Yeah.
And that was a much, much larger audience. Mm. So that one had, I think, a total of 150 persons in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I had done a couple of shows here. I've been introduced to the Nigerian community. I hosted a couple of birthdays and parties and weddings. So we had, you know, a lot more attendance, 150 people at the festival hall, you know, mm-hmm. on the 9th Avenue. And then after that, I moved on to phase 3, which was something much more bigger, mm-hmm. a live recording, which I did achieve in 2022. And that was called Grand Commander Handsome and Funny.
Okay.
It was a much more bigger production because when we were doing the comedy show.
Wait. First of all, pause. You just did talk. You're just saying it's small. I just did this. So I just did. This is a big deal. Like, bros, we hello. Well done, though. Like, I love how you literally had a plan and you're like, step 1, tick, step 2, moving to the next phase. And you do that. And then, oh, like, that is incredible. I just wanted to like say that real quick. You're being humble, though. You're just saying, we had a sold out show. We did this one in this place. Bro, talk out with your phone out. Like that's incredible. I just wanted to shout you out real quick because like you are just saying it's small. Let's help you loud it because you moved in 2019 and you've already done such incredible work. It's hard. And I understand the struggle. So I just wanted to say that. Well done. Please continue. Continue.
Thank
your live recording, your live show. Okay, please continue.
Okay, so I think it's important to point out the fact that all along the journey, all along the process, whilst I was able to do everything,
mm-hmm.
I was just, how do I put it? I think I was blessed mm-hmm. to just meet people along the way who were able to buy into my ideas and what I wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to work with them, you know, to achieve all of these things.
Yes.
Did I achieve those goals? Yes. Did I do it all on my own? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Could I have done it on my own? Maybe. But I'm pretty sure it would have come with a whole lot of stress.
And probably taking you longer.
There were people, yeah, it would have, probably would have taken me longer, but there were people who were just divinely ordained mm-hmm. to be there at the time that I needed them, and they were just ready to be a part of my, you know, story, a part of my journey, until we're able to, you know, make it happen.
Shout out to those people that, like, that come Femi through. BG. Femi BG, Kola, shout you mentioned two people. Like, shout out to everyone because
it takes a village. Shout out to Femi BG. Shout out to DJ Blaze, Chinyere, Emele of ML Event.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Amobadero, Moti Photo.
Yeah, Moti.
There's a whole lot of people. I can't remember all the names right now.
Yeah, of course.
Larry Ajayi. There's Pepe Soul. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of people who at one point in time, you know, just, you know, came out and were just like, oh, we love what you're doing. Let's see, what do you need? How can we help, you know?
Yeah.
So in 2021, when we were planning for Just Joking, Femi and I, we sat down and we were looking at the picture. We're like, okay, so we've done the comedy club. Mm-hmm. But we need to take this and make it bigger. What do we do? And so I said, okay, I want to see myself. I see myself in front of an audience, you know, doing a live recording. I want to, you know, be on stage for at least 1 hour.
Yeah, that's like a live special, right?
Yeah, like a special. I want to record my own special, you know. Mm. I've had jokes that I've been creating over the years, but I want to go on stage and, you know, perform them for an hour. And he said, okay, where do we use? And so we started looking at venues and stuff. And one of the venues that crossed my mind was the Bella Concert Hall. I'll come back to the Bella later. And so I looked at it and I'm like, man, I love this venue. And so I showed him and he said, whoa, that sits 600 people, bro. I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, man, how do we do that? You know, we just moved from how much do you think we'll charge and what's the production cost and, you know, entail and all of that. And so I looked at it and I said, well, I don't think I can do that yet. You know, so I asked him, I said, is there any hall we can get that can sit maybe like 200 to 250 people? And then he suggested we use the festival hall. And so I went there, I looked at the place. They had a stage, they had sound, they had the lights. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And so we asked them and they said, yeah, we'd sit just about 150 people. So I said, okay, yeah, let's go with that. And so we did it. It was a huge challenge then, you know, but we're able to, you know, pull people out and we got that sold out. And then 2022, and I said, okay, if we've done this, it's time to move and think bigger. How do we make this bigger? I then looked at the Bella Concert Hall again. And I'm like, if I could do 150, I can move to the Bella right now. But then I now reached out to my production team. My production team had changed at that point, you know, because Femi said, well, he wanted to focus on his stuff and all that. We're still good friends, you know, he still comes to my shows and stuff. And so we started looking at a couple of venues. So we looked at the Bella again, but the Bella didn't work because that was the year. It was in 2022. I called them to find out how much the hall was going to cost me.
How much? Please tell us.
So they told me the cost, and it was several thousands of dollars. And I told them, I said, let me discuss with my team. I'll get back to you guys. I didn't call them back that year. I bounced because I was like, what? And they were like, oh no, you should come in and take a look at the. I said, yeah, let me just discuss it. I'll get back to you. Absolutely. Why not? I mean, I'll come back, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't go back, my sister, you know? So I discussed with my guys. We looked at a couple of venues and then we settled to use a banquet hall. I think it was a Hellenic banquet hall we used. And then we started publicity and then we moved from 150 capacity to 350.
That's double.
I was like, how do we do this, man? We just have to make this thing work. Because if it doesn't work, I think I'll just go back to the 150th venue, yeah. You know. So we started publicity, and we're driving sales, and we're doing everything we could do. But Nigerians in this city can stress. We tell them, buy tickets. They'll wait till the dying minute.
Yes. Ah! Last minute.
Nigerians, yeah. Africans, they'll wait till the dying minute. You know, but we're able to sell out the Hellenic, the one in 2022, which was my first live recording, Grand Commander Handsome and Funny. And then with the kind of person I am, when I'm on a particular project, I'm already thinking about the next one. So whilst we were planning, whilst my team and I were planning for Handsome and Funny, I was already a step ahead thinking, okay, so because I know this one will be a success, what's the next one going to be? And then the team or the title of the next show crossed my mind. And it was called Mischievous Immigrant, because then I was still an immigrant.
I mean, you and still
like,
are.
And I remember I was in Sam's studio that day, and Sam was like, guy, you never did rest. I said, I did rest. He was like, no, you know, they rest. I said, I did rest. He said, we still talk about Handsome and Funny. It's like 2 months away, and you're already telling me that you're thinking of another one. What's going on with you? Okay, focus. Let's finish this one first. And I'm like, no, I'm just telling you. So let me speak it so that it will come into existence.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, so where are we going to use? And I'm like, ah, you know, saying that Bella we look just now. And I've been look Bella last year, but let's see how it goes. And he's like, hey, there's nothing impossible. Now let's see how it goes. So we had Handsome and Funny. And then I was able to bring in Okeh Bakassi because he was visiting from Nigeria. And it was an amazing show. It was fantastic. Chinyere handled all the planning, all the logistics and all of that. So I was very relaxed, you know. And it was sold out. On the day of the event, we had to turn some people back at the entrance because there was no seats for them to sit down. And they were so angry. They were like, well, what do you mean? We drove all the way from... I'm like, you Nigerians, we told you buy a ticket, but you people have refused. And then you come here, do you think it's magic? You want somebody to lap you, carry on your lap? Enjoy the show and all of that. And they're like, yeah. So we should go home. I said, yes. But it was good, you know, and we still get feedback from that show, you know, over and over again. Sadly, since the 2022 show, I have not produced any show because my wife and I had a baby in 2022.
Hey.
And then in 2022, she got pregnant again. And so we were now working.
Who gave her the pregnancy? See how you said it again.
God, the spirit of God descended upon her.
Oh, okay, and, wonderful. Yeah. How kind of you to claim the fatherhood of that child since God came on your
God
life.
Took all the glory. So she took him. You know, so she took it again. And so we're having another baby. So I just told myself, I said, let me just take a break. Let me focus on family and kids. Mm-hmm. You know, for a bit, and then we'll come back and revisit the next project. But because I had already started speaking to my team about it, I already knew what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And typical of me is once I'm doing one show and I look at it and I'm like, okay, what were the shortfalls? What did we do right? Mm-hmm. What did we do correctly? What do we need to improve on? So I saw that the show we did at the Hellenic was good,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the production part in terms of the lighting, the ambience, the hall and all of that didn't really fit well with what we wanted to achieve. It was a live recording, yes, but the technical part of it didn't really,
I see,
you know, fit what we wanted to achieve. And so the Bella Concert Hall came back to my mind and I said, God, how can you make this happen? Your son has been looking at this fruit since. I know you told Eve in the Garden of Eden not to eat this fruit. I've not touched it since. If you give me permission, then I'll go ahead. And God being so kind, a few of the people who saw what we did, what we did in 2022, reached out and said, oh, yeah, this was nice, man, but what are you thinking of? What do you want to do for the next one? I said, well, I want to use the Bella Concert Hall. And my very good friend, Pepe Soul, said to me, she said, why don't you approach the Calgary Arts Development, you know, CADA, and mm-hmm. speak to them and see if you can get support, you know, for your project and all of that. Because this is more or less like bringing an awareness and, you know, community building and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we reached out to them. I reached out to a couple of other business owners in the city. And some of them came through and they said, okay, yeah, if it's the Bella Concert Hall you want, let's do it. We'll get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was how I was able to get the Bella Concert Hall.
Yay. That is awesome. Testimony, testimony. That's such great, because like, it just speaks to growth too, right? Because now you're ready for it. Like, you've gone through like how many venues now. Now you're ready for the Bella Concert Hall. You're ready for 600 people. Ready. Yeah.
The Bella Concert Hall seats 650.
That's incredible, man. And I know it's going to be sold out again.
It's incredible, but it's scary.
Oh, of course. That scary part, like, we're not even going to talk about it, because when these other ones not scary, did you not do it, right? So you have a show coming up in the Bella Concert Hall. So please tell us about this one, because this one, I'm sure it'll be sold out again.
So the show at the Bella Concert Hall, originally I wanted to call it, I was going to call it Mischievous Immigrant, because then I was still an immigrant, but somewhere...
Wait.
Along the line,
you're still an immigrant, though. Did you know?
I'm not. I'm a citizen now.
Say it again.
I'm a citizen.
Citizen. You're a citizen. Okay. Welcome home, Mr. Citizen. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a citizen. I've got my passport right now.
You got your passport? Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I've got my Canadian passport.
Okay, so is this your Canadian accent too?
Yeah, this is my Canadian accent.
Your British Canadian accent.
You know, we're colonized by British.
Yeah, by the British. Okay, so that's why you're not an immigrant. How do you say it again? Immigrant, no more.
I'm no longer an immigrant.
Okay. Were you born here?
I wasn't born here, but I mean, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's what it is, man.
That switch up is crazy.
You know, that's what I'm saying, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, no, I'm saying it is what it is. So anyway, you were saying.
So it was going to be called Mischievous Immigrant initially, though. But
yeah.
Somewhere along the line, when I got my citizenship, I just said, nah, I can't be referring to myself as an immigrant. I'm a Canadian now, so... Let's just
let me break it to you. You are an immigrant. If we're not born here, you are a first generation immigrant. That your Nigerian accent. I know you're hiding it. It's still there.
That's your business. It doesn't concern me.
No. Okay, no wahala.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I just took the immigrant part out of it and, you know, just left it as, you know, mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had the idea of the mischievous immigrant, it was simply, the mischievous part of it was simply just referring to how comedians in general, you know, think. As a comedian, you are wired differently from, you know, every other person in the room. So you could be 10 people sitting in a room and something serious is happening and everybody would have different views and would react differently to what is happening. But the way the comedian sees things, he's able to see things from the humorous side. You know, so no matter how serious that situation is and everybody is, you know, looking at this thing, analyzing this situation, the guy is just having fun and he's just laughing. And everybody's looking at him like, come on, man, this is something serious happening here. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is like, nah, you won't understand, you know, because every comedian has got that mischievous way of reasoning, of thinking. And that's what helps us, you know, extract humor from lives, everyday situations and things that happen in life. Mm-hmm. So when we start to talk about the things that happen to us every day, even though they are serious things, we're still able to create humor out of it. And people look at us and they're like, why is this guy like this? Why is he never serious? You know, and that's just us. So that's the mischievous side of us. And so that was why I decided to stick with the title Mischievous. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example. I was somewhere downtown at the Core shopping complex some years back. And this is one of my jokes that I tell on stage a lot of times. And so I just parked by the Core shopping mall and I came down and then there was this young girl I don't think she was up to 15 or 16, and she was throwing a tantrum. And she was screaming at her grandma and her grandpa and her mom. And she was screaming and she was yelling, you know, literally cussing at her parents and all of that. I'm telling you, in broad daylight, she was cursing them, screaming, yelling. And people were just telling her, take it easy. Don't say that. You know, she would say, I hate you, mom. I hate you, grandma. I hate you, grandpa. And she would spit on them, you know, and people were like, take it easy.
Speak?
Take it. I'm telling you. And this was the Nigerian in me, the comedian in me. I just stood at a distance and I was just looking at what was going on. And I was laughing. And people were looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he laughing? Because they knew I was obviously looking at what was going on. And I was just laughing. And I just look at her, just laughing. And I just say, oh my God, this can't be happening. And people were looking at me like, this is literally happening right now. This is serious. You know, and someone was like, let's call the police. You know, she's having a mental breakdown. She's throwing a tantrum and all of that. In my mind, I'm like, you guys won't understand, you know. Because, yes, it was something serious happening. But in my mind, I was just thinking, I was like, let me put myself in that girl's
shoes.
My mom, my dad.
Your dad and your grandma.
My grandmother and my grandfather are standing there. And I'm shouting at them. And I even have the effort to spit on them.
That'll be the last spit you spit in your spitting life.
Somebody will visit heaven that night.
Yep.
That was the Nigerian in me. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I saw people calling the police, and I'm like, you guys are calling the police. Like, don't the police have other important things to do? And the girl was yelling and screaming that they are stressing her. You know, and I'm like, you've not seen stress, my darling. You're just 15, 16. You've not seen stress.
Yeah.
You're not paying mortgage. Mm-hmm. You're not paying any car loan, any finances.
Yeah.
You're not paying any bills. You're not paying for, you know, you're not even complaining about the interest rate from bank of, you don't have stress. You don't know what's in front. So as a matter of fact, you don't even have any rights to complain and say your mom and your dad are stressing you right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just how we see things, you know. Yeah. Some other person will say, yeah, this was a serious situation. Was mm-hmm. it a serious situation? Yes, it was, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But the comedian in me just had to see, was just seeing the humor in that situation, and I'm able to extract the humor in that situation. Mm-hmm. And so when I go on stage and I tell that story, everybody just looks at me and just goes like, oh, this boy is simply just mischievous, you know. So mm-hmm. that's why the name of the show is called Mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my next show, Mischievous.
Yes.
Grand Commander at the Bella Concert Hall, and it's on Sunday, the 30th of June, 2024.
And this is a comeback for you, right? It's kind of, because you've been
It's a comeback, because I haven't been on stage. I haven't headlined my own show in Calgary since 2022.
Yeah. Somebody that hears you say it's a comeback now, they'll think you've been gone for 10 years.
No,
now you are returning. This, you took a little break. You're a father now, father of two. So I had to go live life.
Because I wanted to focus on my kids.
Yeah.
And those boys have been stressing me, man. They're stressing me.
Yeah. That's what they do. I'm sure
you
stressed your parents too.
No, I was a very good baby. I never cried. I never screamed. I never gave my mom
my
any
friend,
issues. I'm telling you, I'm the best baby ever.
Okay. So you were hoping to pass down to your children, right? They took their mother's behavior. Okay. No, I hope she hears you.
She'll be fine.
Because
she's not here. I can get away with that.
So, Mr. Grand Commander, I have a question for you. Why the name Grand Commander?
Long story. So, I got the nickname Grand Commander back in 2009. So, I was in a town in Niger State, back in Nigeria. It's called Bida.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was living with my elder brother. I had just finished from university and stuff. You know, so I was waiting to go do my NYSC and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was with him, and then I got a casual job as an on-air personality in one of the radio stations there. And so I used to, you know, be like their DCA, you know, that's the duty continuity announcer, you know, select the songs that they'll get to play on air, you know, handle, you know, live calling programs and stuff. So I did that for, I think, about 18 months before I went for my NYSC. So whilst I was on air and speaking on air, some of my elder brother's friends will always call in and come to the house when I'm done from the radio shows. And they will always say, man, that they didn't believe I was the one that was talking on radio, because I had like this very deep, commanding tone that I sound different when I'm on the radio than when they see me in person. I sound very, very elderly and all of that when I'm on radio. And I have like this commanding, you know, tone and all of that. So a lot of them now started calling me like the grand commander, you know, of the radio station, you know,
right.
You're just in charge. Once you go on the air, you're like in charge of everything, how you moderate the shows and all of that. So that was how the name got to stick. But then everybody was always spelling it as grand commander, you know, and then they will always unconsciously referred to me as the Grand Commander of the Armed Forces, which is the title of the President of Nigeria.
Yeah, don't let Tinubu catch you.
I was always quick to issue a disclaimer and say, no, I am not the Grand Commander of the Air Force, you know, the Armed Forces now.
Yeah.
I am just Grand Commander, the comedian. And they're like, oh, Grand Commander, the comedian. So how is yours spelled? So I told them my own is not C-O-M, it's K-O-M, A-N, and with a D and an A, so Grand Commander.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, okay. So yeah, so that was pretty much how the name just stuck over the years. I've tried to change it a couple of times, you know, and go back to just answering my legal names, but it's just not worked, because every time I try to introduce myself as Michael Ofili Chijindu, someone from the audience just shouts, no, you are Grand Commander.
They're telling you your name.
And I'm like, I think I'm stuck with this, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how I got the name, and that's how it stuck over the years.
Amazing. So as we round up, can you just tell us some of the challenges you faced? Because, like, I mean, me personally, as a fellow Nigerian, as a fellow immigrant, Canadian immigrant. I feel Canadian. I'm very proud of you. Like, you've achieved a whole lot, and you know, I can only, like, the sky is your stepping stone, you know. So, and you've shared a lot of your wins, your processes, how you met people, how you, you know, kind of, you know, went with people, and you know, as the saying goes, if you want to go fast, go alone. No.
Yeah.
Yes, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Fast, go alone. But if you want to go far.
Go with, there, you know, you people, go. Have a community. And that's what you've done. Like, you've talked so much about, you know, your community of people who have helped, you know, you in your growth. So what would you say are some of the challenges you faced building your career as a comedian on this side of the world?
Okay, so I think the very first challenge that I faced was the perception that Nigerians had about shows here. I say that because I'm not throwing any shades at anybody. I'm not trying to sound, you know, like I have made it or whatever, you know. But I think that the way Nigerians, you know, produce, or would I use the word stage, their shows, is not up to standard or up. You know, they don't do it the right way, the way it should be done. And so that was the very first challenge that I faced. Nigerians are known to have this Nigerian time mentality, or African time mentality. And it's been passed down from one generation to another, you know, over the years. And it's really not my thing. I'm a very time conscious person. So when I say something's going to start at 6, I do my best to ensure that my setup is wrapped up by 2 p.m. I want everything that has to do with the, you know, staging of that show. I want to start at 6 p.m. I'm not going to be running around at 6:15 or 6:30 trying to finish my, you know, setup, and I'm still trying to arrange chairs and get the drinks and the food in by 6:30. Nah, I want to make sure that everything in terms of seating arrangement and all of that is done by 2 p.m. So between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., I can relax myself and just wait for people to come and enjoy the show. That was one of the very first challenges that I faced, because I had to keep hammering it on my publicity materials. I had to keep screaming it. I had to keep yelling it at them and telling them, yo, this show is going to start at this time. This show is going to start at this time. A lot of them did not believe it. When we started the show in, well, we did the show in 2021, that was Just Joking. We had on the flyer 4 p.m. Doors would open at 4 p.m. for cocktails. And all of our setup was done by 1 p.m. By 4 p.m., I think we had just maybe about 10 people. Remember, I told you the show had 150 people in attendance.
Wow.
We had just like 10 people show up by 4. But that was fine, because I knew that I wanted the show to start at exactly 5 p.m. So the 1 hour was for them to come get check in, you know, and stuff, you know, and be in the, you know, the little cocktail area and stuff. And so by 4:30, a lot of them started trooping in and all of that. And by 5, we opened the doors, they went in. By 5:40, I was on stage, because I had show openers and people who were going to open the show. By 5:45, I was on stage already. There was a friend of mine who I invited, and I told that they should come early. And they were like, oh, no, now other shows that they tell us 4 o'clock, they don't start until like 8 p.m. And I'm like, no, that's not my show. My show's going to start.
8, that's 4 hours after.
I'm telling you. And then they walked in by 6:30. And by 6:30, when they were walking in, I was already on stage. And they were like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you guys are literally like 2.5 hours late. I mean, I'm already on stage, you know, and stuff. You know, so that was one of the very first challenges that we faced. And subsequently, when we did the show in 2022, that as well. But people had gotten used to knowing that, okay, yes, Grand Commander's shows are different. If he tells you to come by 5, just go by 5. He's going to respect your time. He's going to respect your, you know, your presence and your attendance. And it's not like I'll tell you to come by 5 and then keep you standing and keep you waiting till like 7 p.m. before I start the show and all of that. So that's one of the first challenges we faced, because other shows that were being done in the city, people didn't value people's time and all of that.
Right.
So that's one of the challenges I faced. The second challenge that we faced was acceptance, because people didn't know what to accept. You know, a lot of people felt, you have to be a big name before they deem it fit to come out to watch your show, you know, or to attend your show. So when I say, okay, my name is Grand Commander, I live in Calgary, and I'm doing my own event, I'm producing my own show. Some people feel, oh, I have not attained that level yet. Right. I'm not big as some of the bigger names in Nigeria that they know, or who have millions of following and all of that. So they're like, nah, why should we pay $100 to come and watch Grand Commander? He's not bringing any big name. You know, so nah, don't worry, I'm not going. Unless you put a bigger name on your bill. And I'm like, nah. So that's another challenge that I face. But, you know, thanks to those who have supported me over the years, who feel like you're my guy, who will always come out to support you. Don't worry. You know, we rise by lifting others, according to Davido. And so they've always come out to support me over the years. And I'm really grateful for that. And that is changing, you know. But the biggest challenge is Nigerians buying tickets. They will always wait till the last minute. Oh, man. They will always wait till the last minute, you know. They will call you on the day of the show. How far? Tickets still there. One come on. Not today. I'm like, it was yesterday.
Not today.
You know, Nigerians ask some craziest questions. You know, it's obvious, but they'll still ask those questions, you know.
Yeah.
So that's been the biggest challenge, you know. But I think that's changing, you know, because when you see some of the shows that are put up by the by comedians, you know, I mean, Kevin Hart is selling out a 30,000-40,000 capacity venue, and they put the tickets up, and in like 1 hour the tickets are gone. You hear him post, he just posts and says tickets now on sale, and 1 hour later he's posting a picture on his Instagram, sold out. Tennessee, sold out. New York City, sold out. Maryland, sold out. Los Angeles, sold out. This one, sold out. You're like, excuse me, 40,000? And here I am, a young boy in Calgary, to sell out the Bella Concert Hall. 650 people only.
Better, 650.
That's not even, that's less than the tithe of a Kevin Hart or a Dave Chappelle audience. Less than the tithe. And people are waiting till the week of the show to buy, you know. But I think that's going to change. I think that's going to change eventually. But so those are some of the challenges that I have faced. Another challenge would be funding, you know. But thanks to all those who have over the years come out to say, you know what, we'll support, we want to be part of the sponsors. And it's because of these people that I constantly have to up my game in terms of production, in terms of what the guests get to experience at the show, you know, and it's been amazing, you know. Staging a show here, it's not like staging a show in Nigeria. You know, I mean, in Nigeria, you can ask for people to just come and support you, and one uncle or auntie or one cousin will say, oh, we'll come and do it free for you. But here, you have to pay everybody that's on your production team, from the photographers to the ushers, to the security guys, to the person doing the decoration, to your printing,
every single thing, publicity, everything,
publicists, to, you know, the adverts you hear on radio, on TV. You're paying for literally everything, you know. But a lot of people don't see the work that goes on in the background. You know, they just come on the day of the show and they enjoy the show, but a lot goes on in the background. Nobody would believe when I tell them that we've been working on, my team and I have been working on this show since 2022. They'll be like, are you kidding me? Yeah. There's countless phone calls, countless meetings we've been having and all of that. So when it comes out being a success, I'm grateful. I can see that everybody's input, everybody's time, all the work and everything has paid off. So that's it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Because like you said, African time, and I'm not going to lie, I'm guilty. Let me cover my face. I'm guilty. But I also know,
a list of those who do African time and submit to God in heaven.
God already knows all of us, no vex. God knows all of us. But you're right, nobody sees the work behind the scenes. You just come and you enjoy yourself, and you're like, oh wow, what a wonderful show, and you go home. Meanwhile, it's, you know, it's months and months and months in the making, right? Paying for so many, paying for everything, including insurance too, because some venues will ask you to pay insurance for the venue to use their space. If you want to serve alcohol, you are paying. If you're paying for license and permits, if you want to, you know, so everything. And a hall like Bella Concert Hall probably has its own staff that you also have to pay for. Like, there's just so much involved.
Let me just put it into perspective. I've been to the Bella Concert Hall. I have a meeting with them this Friday. That's our production meeting. So myself and my production team, we're all going to be there. So we're going to, you know, we're going to design what the stage lighting is going to be like, what my intro is going to be like, you know, and we're going to design all of that on Friday. I think I have had in-person meetings with the Bella Concert guys, I would say about 10 to 15 times between August last year and today. I started discussing with my graphics guy. We've been, I can't count how many phone calls or emails we've exchanged, but I know I've started talking to this guy about this show since like March or April last year, when he started doing all the artwork and all of that. One of the guys who's performing at the show, Alfred Kanga, he's coming from the US, he's a Zimbabwean American based comedian. I had to fly from Calgary to the US just to go meet him, to build that relationship, in September last year, you know, and that was how we were able to talk about him being on my show this year. Mm-hmm. And we had to agree and all of that. So that's how much, you know, work goes into the background production for these shows. You know, but a lot of people don't know. You come in, you see a show that's properly scripted, properly produced, properly packaged, you get it, you enjoy the 3-hour show, mm-hmm. and you leave, but you don't know that it took countless number of years, countless mm-hmm. number of months to put all of that together. The Bella Concert Hall, those guys are very, very thorough. I mean, mm-hmm. it's opened my mind to a whole lot of stuff, you know, and I can't complain.
Yeah.
Just waiting for June 30th.
Yes. June 30th, y'all. You've heard it and you've heard it here first. Thank you so much, Grand Commander, for sharing your story with us and letting us know about this show. Me, personally, it just sounds like such an amazing show and I look forward to it. So shout out to you. You've come such a long way. We are hailing you from behind, you know, keep on going and keep on doing your thing.
Thank you so much.
So yeah, y'all, Mischievous, June 30th. If you're in Calgary, come through, bring a friend, bring an enemy.
I'll bring another friend.
Yes, exactly. Bring your fans, bring your toasters, bring everybody. Just come ready to have fun, ready to have a great, great, great time. And mm-hmm. Come on time, okay? Exactly. When Grand Commander says it's going to start at this time, so it's going to start at that time.
PM. The show itself kicks off at 6 p.m. So if you come at 5 p.m., you can mingle, you can interact. I mean, I'll be out there. We can take pictures, we can gist and all mm-hmm. of that. 6 p.m., 5:30, I would leave that space where everybody is interacting and all that. You won't see me until I go on stage. So mm-hmm. Come early.
Come take a photo with the Grand Commander. Come and mingle. If you are looking for husband, the husband is there. If you are looking for wife,
they will be there.
If
you are looking for connections, business,
anything. Networks. They'll be there. So just come ready to have a good time. Come looking good. Come feeling good. I'm ready to have a laugh, okay?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Grand Commander, please let us know your social media so we can follow you. We can follow your shows, your upcoming events, your website, all of that.
I am on Instagram as Grand Commander. Grand Commander is spelled GRANDKOMANDA. _ That's Instagram. Okay. On X, formerly Twitter, it's G Commander. So GKOMANDA. Mm-hmm. That's it.
If you have a website, anything you want to show.
Yeah, my website is www.grandcommander.ca.
Yes. So please follow him, see what he has going on, get ready and see the behind the scenes as he prepares for this show.
Absolutely.
And go and support. Let's come out, y'all, and buy your tickets on time, please.
Buy your tickets, yeah.
Buy your tickets on time.
If you're a married woman, buy a ticket for your mm-hmm. husband to come and celebrate Father's Day on June 30th. If you are...
Yes.
A single lady, buy a ticket to come and see her, get a husband, win a husband on that day.
Win?
Husbands are prized possessions right now, you know? So
are wives.
So if you're a single boy, so single wives. Guy too, come and win a wife on that day, you know? Just come out. Come Let's through. Have fun that day, yeah.
Yeah, let's have fun. Amazing. Thank you again, Grand Commander, for coming and sharing your story.
Thank you so much. This has
been amazing. Would you please leave us with a word of wisdom, a word of advice?
Okay, so word of wisdom or word of advice is this. Nothing is too big for you to accomplish. Nothing. Nothing is too big for you to accomplish. The only thing that, you know, would stop you from achieving it is you not working towards it. So long as you can picture yourself in that place, you will get there. It might just take some time, you know. Mm-hmm. But the more you continue to dream about it, the more you continue to crave it, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially as in whatever you do, just keep it in your mind. See yourself doing it in that space, or see yourself doing achieving that thing, and you'll eventually get there. I'm living proof. I saw myself in the Bella many years ago, and it's manifesting itself today. So you can do it.
Yeah, thank you for that word of wisdom once again.
Now we're looking at the Saddle Dome or the BMO Center. So,
that's the next one now, she. Soon, but next will even be Canada tour, Canada, yeah, tour North America.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
yeah, dream big. We'll, like, there. What's we'll the limit, there, right?
Yes,
yeah. Once again, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story and telling us about your event and the process behind it.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, thank you so much for sticking with us throughout this episode. You have heard it here first. Go and buy your tickets. Go and
buy your tickets.
You know,
the tickets
tell
are
a friend.
On sale. It's tickets.mru.ca/Grand Commander. Or if you just head on to my Instagram page, the link is on the bio, on my bio.
Yes. So buy your ticket, buy for a friend as a birthday gift, as a father's gift, as a anniversary gift, whatever. Just buy your tickets, buy it on time, because on that day, they will turn people back and say you did not buy it on time. Oh. So buy your tickets and get ready to have a great time, y'all, okay?
Yeah.
Until next episode, bye. Take care.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me, Sarah. Afros in the Diaspora.
Let's go.